We're looking at those words from Paul to his people in Corinth. They're a very fractious group. The Corinthians were people that said, oh, Jesus has come and everything is being turned over. It's a whole new world now. We'll chuck out everything and we'll just do things in a totally different way. So all the traditions went and everything. And Paul said, hold on, guys, you're still God's people. They're the exact opposite to the Galatians. The Galatians said, oh, we're God's people, we've got to follow all the rules again and get circumcised and all that stuff. So Paul gave slightly different advice to them. Anyway, that's another topic. But I'd like to reflect on the beginning of his letter, his writings here. Brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but a people who are still worldly, babies in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food. You're not ready for it. You are still not ready. You are still worldly. Be with us, Lord, as we reflect on your message to us today. Paul gets grumpy. His grumpiness is very, very evident here. I get grumpy with people, and I know the thing that I shouldn't do is do what St. Paul did, because it just makes things worse. To say to someone, look, grow up. You're being immature. Be sensible. Try that on your kids sometime and see whether it transforms them. So this is one of Paul's little lapses. He has them now and then. So do we. We think, how do you deal with things that annoy you? How do you deal with people that annoy you? Bit of background. The people in Corinth, of course, were Greeks, and Greeks were loved their wise teacher, you know, Archimedes and Euclid and Aristotle, all these things. So the secret of becoming a grown-up person is to find a good teacher. And your good teacher will guide you in all the things that you need to know. So they took this basic philosophy of their culture and they said it's the same in Christianity, of course. You find your teacher and you follow him, and this teacher will interpret the spiritual realities of life for you, and that's all you need to do. Now, all of that is very familiar because we're in the same sort of unit. Well, slightly different. We don't look for teachers. We look for twits who send little bits and pieces of information, and people say, I've heard this from this person and I've heard this from this person and I think this, and we've thrown all the teachers out. That's sort of a slightly different issue, but it's a similar one to Paul. But Paul is not concerned. It's interesting. He's not concerned with the issue. He's not concerned with the difference between what Apollos said and what he said and what Peter said and what James said. He's interested in the way they deal with it together. How do you deal with the fact that you're a disciple of Apollos and you think this? How do you deal with the fact that you're a disciple of Paul? How do you deal with the fact that you don't believe women should be ordained? And how do you deal with the fact that you think of obviously they should be? How do we connect? Not the issues, but the connecting. That's what this is about. I better get a few slides up, I forget. Right, that's Paul's frustration. On to the next one. Right, so Paul says, grow up. You're so immature. So I thought we'd spend a bit of time this morning reflecting on what lies behind that. We all talk about growing up. What is spiritual growing up? We know about physical growing up. You get bigger and you eat things and that makes you grow bigger and you get mature. We know about sexual maturity and social maturity and intellectual maturity. All of these you give input and thing of one sort or another and things happen. You develop. You grow in your in whatever area it is. So spiritual maturity that Paul is talking about, what exactly is this? And it's not, I say again, it's not about the issue. It's not about saying, oh, I understand the Trinity now, therefore I'm spiritually mature. You're theologically mature, but you're not spiritually necessarily. I understand the creation of the universe. Oh, that's not the issue. It's much, much deeper than this. So we've been created by God, by the image of God. We've been created by God to grow spiritually, as we're created to grow physically and in other ways. It's part of the total way that we human beings grow. And so growing spiritually, and the nourishment is, of course, the nourishment of the Spirit of God that comes and helps us to grow. So that growing spiritually, I'll do this when I want a slide change. How's that? Right. Growing spiritually is being in a place where the Holy Spirit can interact with our spirit and mature us as the people of God. The Holy Spirit is the one that sort of fills out our spiritual growth. Life is made up of many things, many pressures, and spiritual growth is somehow bringing all these things together. It's making us the whole person. In a way, it's bringing us into the big picture. And the first thing to be done, I think, is to be aware. To be aware of yourself. Self-awareness. You are a child of God. You're created in the image of God. You are a precious person of God. Become aware of that. And that's the foundation of all the other awarenesses that we have. A spiritually immature person doesn't understand why they do what they do, for starters. Don't understand why they think the way they do. Don't understand why this is a damaging thing to do. Spiritual maturity means getting these things right, and not seeing life as a competition. That brings us to the other characteristic. A spiritually mature person has a sense of understanding, of empathy, and that's the problem Paul was dealing with. You don't understand each other. You are Paulists and Paulinists and Jamesists. You don't understand yourself, and therefore you don't understand others, and therefore you're not a community. A spiritually immature person will jump to conclusions, will jump to judgments, will jump to blaming, will jump to condemning, because they don't understand themselves and other people and how they're similar and yet different. And that means, goes with that, is developing our values, allowing the fruits of the Spirit to grow, to transform our relationships, and how we impact on other people. So to sum it up, being a spiritually mature person means seeing the big picture and how it all fits together, how it all grows. And realising that fundamentally, probably the key thing is I am not the centre of the universe. It links up a bit with our other sort of growth. You know, children think they're the centre of the universe and everything revolves around them. Gradually we learn that there are other people around us, and gradually we learn that these other people count, and gradually we learn that sometimes they've got things that we could use and are sensible, and so gradually becoming part of the universe rather than the centre of it, seeing the whole picture, and I'm only a bit player. And once you become a small part of it, and not the centre of the universe, but a part of it, it gives you a sense of balance, gives you a sense of, it doesn't depend on me, I can let this go, others will do things as well as me. And fundamentally through all of this, I think being spiritually mature is being a community. And back to St. Paul. That was his concern, that people weren't functioning as a community together. They were competing, and they were striving, and they were point scoring, and they were thinking of arguments against the other side, and that sort of backwards and forwards way. He says, once you've worked out that you are a people together, the people of God, then other things will tend to take their place. Now, at this point, we're all a bit depressed, because if you're like me, you realise that pretty much all these things you don't do. I'm very quick to judge people. I'm very quick to say that they're wrong. I'm very opinionated. I'm the oldest of six, so I've got all the answers for everything. And we feel, where do we go? How can I grow myself up? And that's not really the question, because I don't grow myself up. The message of Jesus is all about optimism and possibilities, and not knocking people when they're down, but allowing them to grow. There's a wonderful little verse about Jesus, quoting from the Old Testament, where it says that a bruised reed he will not break. He won't snap it off when it's bent and frail. And a smouldering wick he won't put out. In other words, God is the God of sticking reeds up and blowing on candles that are dim. And that's what keeps us going. Maturity is what God does to us and with us as our growing up. He's committed to this. God is committed to growing us up as his people. So some final comments. What helps spiritual growth? What helps spiritual growth, block by block? I think the first thing, pretty obvious all of these, first thing is a bit of space. If you want to become an athlete, you need a bit of space for practicing athleticism. If you want to grow up physically, you need a bit of space for eating. If you want to grow up spiritually, you've got to have a bit of space for reflecting and a bit of space for being quiet. And we all have our own places. Go for a walk. I listen to music. And the Word, of course, Bible, studying hymns, going to all these things, we know what it means to say, this is a priority, I'm going to have a bit of space, and I know the sort of space I need for me to become all the things God wants me to become. The second thing is words. Words are very important to us, and we make, in a way, our words create us. If we're always using angry words, gradually we get angrier because they're the natural things that come, and the words and anger go together. Judging words will make us more judging. So just observe the words that we use and modify some of them and get alternates. Instead of saying, I hate you, say, I disagree with you. Simple things, but our words can tend to create us. The other thing that creates us, of course, is other people. And be careful with better get selective. I'm only going to mix with these people because they're nice. It's not quite that. It's more be aware of what the people around you are doing to you. If you're mixing with people that are gradually having an effect on you, say, well, I'll spend a bit less time with this person, a bit more time. That sort of thing. We all know what it means to choose the connections that we have, the ones that build up and the ones that we can build up. It works both ways. We can help others to spiritually mature too. And finally, exercise is always good. And that's exercising the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, all those sort of things. To see, now, is there a way that I could be a bit more patient today? Is there a way that I could be a bit more thankful today? Sort of little things, but just get into these routines of spiritual life. Heavenly Father, you've created us in your image. You've created us to grow. You've sent Jesus as the source of nourishment, the Spirit prompting and niggling and working within us. Keep us aware and grow us up as your children. Amen.